Welcome to the Volterra podcast number 18. This is both a holiday edition and a sick person's edition. Louis and I have both been sick over the past week. So, Louis, are you feeling any better?
Not amazingly, but I think it shows our true dedication to this craft that we're willing to go beyond the barrier of human endurance to bring you this podcast.
I was thinking the same thing. I was gonna really lay it on thick that I was sick, but then you're also sick, so I can't like.
No. I mean, like, we can wallow in self-care together.
Yeah. Exactly. But I've got my coffee and a nice University of St. Andrews mug.
Ah, very nice. I saw the – you are in America at the moment. Is this correct?
I am back in the U.S.
U.S. I saw the old alma mater managed to raise an incredible amount of money from a dinner with the prince and princess in Washington, D.C. recently for St. Andrews University. So
how much was it?
I think about 3 million quid or something like that. Like, it was like a substantial amount of money.
Yeah. Well, did I tell you about this? I got the invitation in the mail.
Yeah, I also got one too.
The minimum ticket was $2,500.
Well, bargain.
And the highest end table was $100,000.
Well, I almost
framed it. I almost put it over on the refrigerator just as like a, yeah, this maybe one day I'll be able to afford a ticket to a
$2,500. Yeah, it's a lot of money. That's 1,700 quid, which is like quite a long way above minimum wage per month here in the UK.
Yeah. I think you made that since June last year, probably, right?
Last year, we're talking decades, man.
It was actually interesting to see who went to that, because I had a few friends who did actually end up going, well, Facebook friends going, and one of my very good friends, his parents were on the committee, on the gala committee.
Christ, okay.
He got to go, shook hands with the Duke and Duchess.
Old Dutchy boy. That's good to get him.
Kate and Wills. So, but it seemed like
a handshake, little spank on the ass, and
I think that would have happened if it was Pippa, but not.
Yeah.
But they had a whirlwind tour of New York City. Went to a basketball game in the middle of the I Can't Breathe thing. The whole police brutality. Protests.
We got a bit of that here.
Yeah. So, Merry Christmas.
And to you too, sir. Merry Christmas from the Scottish Riviera, as I like to call it.
Yeah.
It's a beautiful day here in Edinburgh.
Lots of beaches and bikinis. What is what's the weather like over there?
Horrible. It's raining quite profusely.
Yeah,
it's cold. It's about to become nighttime, and it's 2:10 in the afternoon. So,
as you do,
nothing changes in the land of the north, you know.
Yeah, Nadia was in. My girlfriend was in Helsinki.
Oh, right. That's hardcore.
I think it's about the same. I think it's actually about the same as Scotland. And what time it goes, it gets dark there, because they were complaining about how it gets dark at like 3:30. I was like, been there, done that, man. Sorry, you're not gonna. Yeah. Exactly. I live that. So do you have any, what are your Christmas plans? What's your kind of tradition? What do you do?
Well, it was quite interesting to sort of talk about, actually, because I was thinking about Christmas kind of recently and how terrible it is every year, like without fail. And I've been putting quite a lot of thought into it because my girlfriend is very into Christmas. And as are many people in the Christian world and further afield these days with the sort of commercial aspect of it too. But she obviously celebrates Danish Christmas, which is a very it's something I've been quite fascinated by, because everything, it seems like a very enjoyable time a very pleasant Christmas. Like, there's a lot of like open hearths and pork roasts and like dark beer brewed for this occasion, and this kind of sense of family and togetherness, which is usually a bit absent from my Christmases. And I've been asking her a lot of questions about it, and I've been genuinely taking quite a big interest in sort of Danish and European Christmas, for that matter. And then it dawned on me that the reason that Christmas is probably so miserable is probably me. It's actually nothing to do with anything else. It's just that I am a miserable bastard, and I'm like purposefully never trying to have a good time on Christmas because I don't know, subconsciously feel that it's got to be shit every single year. So this year I'm going to make a special effort to be less horrendous over Christmas and try and have a good time of it.
That's a fascinating revelation, because I had a very similar revelation, very similar thought the other day, that I was like, it was yesterday, I think, and I was not happy at all. Just not looking forward to anything, just bleh. And yeah. Wait a second. It's not their fault. It's my fault. I should stop being a grumpy asshole, especially at 25, and try and enjoy things a little bit. Now, if that means drinking a little bit, so be it. But I'm definitely gonna make an effort this year to not be a selfish prick, which I think is part of the maturing process of one's mid-20s. Wouldn't you say?
Yeah, I think if someone had like kind of put it to me this way, instead of being the kind of, yeah, why don't you just get with the Christmas spirit, and how are you always so miserable at Christmas? If someone had just like kind of put it into perspective like this earlier, I probably would have realized, someone had been like, you're just an arsehole. And then I'd be like, yes, you are correct. I am an absolute bell end. And I always do this every time, and it's always a bit miserable. But this year will maybe be a bit different, and we shall see. And hopefully Christmas will kind of become a bit better.
So are you planning on going to Denmark for Christmas, or is this, are you just...
No. Yeah, I sort of made the decision that I'd go and spend the time, as my mom was sort of on her own, I thought I'd come and spend Christmas with my mom in Scotland. We used to kind of go away a lot at Christmas. We don't really have much tradition here because my family, like quite a lot of there's a lot of them for a start, because they have no control over breeding, and they just, there's just lots, like there's an inconceivable number of children and uncles and stuff. So logistically it's impossible getting them all together. And when you do get them all together, it's a nightmare. It's like herding cats, and none of them really like each other as well, which is a bit of an issue. I mean, they don't hate each other, but they've all got like enough kids to really have way too much to worry about in the first place. So it just turns into a kind of like protracted slagging match in which isn't very Christmassy or that fun. So we kind of stopped doing that. Last year, actually, we went to Lanzarote in the Canary Islands, which was revelatory in that it's basically a kind of club resort in the middle of the Atlantic Ocean, just off Africa. Yeah, I mean, it's sort of like 22, 23 degrees. It's quite hot. I mean, it's never really cold there.
Yeah. I went to Tenerife as a fresher, and it wasn't warm. It was like 15, 16 the whole time, which I was right. Wondering about. But yeah, sorry, go ahead.
I mean, it wasn't mad cold, but it was, I mean, we were used to kind of Scotland, which is just cold all the time. So yeah, it was okay. And it was good though. That was actually quite a good Christmas, because you could kind of just spend the time watching football at bars, and Christmas kind of just went by without incident. Then we woke up and it was done. But this year I'm going to make an actual effort to kind of try and get with the kind of spirit a bit more. And see if I can kind of make it a bit more like this sort of European Danish idyll that has been, I don't know, projected to me by my other half.
Yeah. What's, are, do you, so what's your plan for the, are you opening gifts on Christmas Day? What's your, and I have a follow-up question to this, but go ahead. What's your, have you finished your Christmas shopping? Are you Christmas shopping?
Yeah. I mean, I'm pretty bad at the whole Christmas shopping thing in that I usually have pacts with members of the family that we just don't buy each other because I'm always skint, and they're usually quite broke as well.
Yeah.
And neither party can be asked buying presents. So I really only have to buy for my mom really.
Yeah.
Which has been done. This year I kind of bullied her into giving me a list of the things so I didn't have to use my imagination, which is dire, for these kind of things because I don't know anything about women and I don't know anything about presents because I'm a selfish bastard, as we've established. So there's but this year I just bullied her into giving me a list of what she wanted and that was perfect. I like kind of set it out and there was a day where I just did it all and it's all done. And that'll happen on the day, on Christmas Day. There'll be a sort of ceremonial present unveiling.
Nice work. This is the first year that I've actually like, that I'm coming home with Christmas presents. I think I'm not completely done with Christmas shopping. I need to buy a couple things. But for the most part, I'm pretty well off and pretty set. So I'm very proud of myself. And that's one thing that I do take pride in is my gift giving ability.
Okay.
To read someone and pick up on clues about what they want. And I'm like Sherlock Holmes in my.
So that's good. You're like that. You're the guy that's like, oh, Rowan's gift will be good instead of. Oh, it's going to be another like cat calendar again.
That's the way. And if I do give a cat calendar, it's with a reason. It's like, oh yeah, like you wanted a cat.
Fucking loves cats.
Yeah, yeah. Or it's I'm just going the other end of the thing, and I had no idea what to get you, so I got you the worst gift possible, and that's the way it's going to be.
Cool.
My follow up question to that is, what is Boxing Day? I mean, I understand that it's the day after Christmas, but what is the purpose of it? What is the, I've never actually heard a reasonable explanation about why Boxing Day exists as a holiday.
In my limited knowledge on the subject, I believe, though it's very different in different places, but here it effectively means, actually it means two things. One is nothing. And the second thing is it cues a kind of Black Friday-esque rush to buy stuff that is gone on sale after Christmas. So like Boxing Day sale is quite a big thing in the UK. I believe in the original version of events for Christmas, I mean, not the original one, that was obviously Jesus being born, but sometime after that, when they'd mastered kind of packaging better than, turn of the millennium Nazareth and Judea, they
definitely packaged something then too. They packaged a pretty good story back then. But
they got to get out. It's true. But there's only so many things you can serve an amphora, you know. Yeah. It's I believe that the Boxing Day was the opening of Presents Day, whereas Christmas Day was a kind of holy day, and then on Boxing Day you actually, opened the boxes. In Europe, or certainly Denmark, which I classify as representing the whole of Europe, but I've heard from other Europeans that Boxing Day is still the day where you open the presents on Boxing Day.
Huh.
Yeah.
Huh.
My girlfriend, certainly, they open presents the day after Christmas.
Hmm. Interesting. In Holland, they open presents. I don't think they do very many presents around Christmas. They do it for Sinterklaas in like December 5th or something like that.
Oh, yeah, I know the one.
Which is the one with the racist blackface Schwarzpiet.
Yeah, with Zwartpiet, yeah.
Schwarzpiet, yeah. Which is an incredibly racist tradition for any of those listeners who don't know what Schwarzpiet is. Sinterklaas, I think we might have talked about this a couple weeks ago, but...
We were going to. We never addressed the subject. We can do a little aside on Zwartpiet if you like.
Yeah, okay. All right,
in Holland, so it's very relevant, yeah.
Yeah, so Schwarzpiet is... let's start with Sinterklaas, who is the Dutch Sinterklaas, and he's like other Central European countries, Northern European countries. He puts a present in a shoe, in your shoe.
Oh, okay.
So it's Sinterklaas kapotje, hoi Marian my son. There's like a song that's like, throw a gift in my shoe, throw a gift in my boot, dear Sinterklaas. Yeah. So, but his assistant, so for the U.S., I think for the U.K. as well, the assistants of Santa Claus are little elves running around. The assistant for Sinterklaas is, who comes from Spain, by the way, comes from Spain on a boat, and yet there's a landing every year. And his assistant is a black person named Schwarte Piet, Black Peter.
Yeah.
And the articulation of that in Dutch society is that a bunch of people get dressed up in blackface with big red lips and run around on bikes giving people presents. And I've told people there's been some controversy within Holland about changing it. They tried to make different color Peets a couple years ago. So there was like a green Peet, a yellow Peet, an orange Peet, a red Peet. That didn't really pan out very well. So they've kind of retreated back to Schwarte Piet, and some people are doing it. Other people don't do it anymore. But there's just people and little statues of blackface everywhere. And it's for someone coming from the U.S. where blackface is like bad. it's a little disturbing. And when I was there a couple of weeks ago, there was a bunch of Schwarte Piets walking by me, riding by me, and I was just like, I was like creeped out, and like I didn't want to look at them. They were very smiley, very happy. Didn't like it at all. Did not think they should be smiling in blackface. I was very disturbed. It was very disturbing.
Yeah, it's quite a strange dude, especially as he's Spanish, apparently, also. He's certainly got quite the tan and afro hair for a Spaniard.
No, well, Sinterklaas is from Spain. I think Schwarte Piet is actually supposed to be a Moor. I think that's...
a Moor, okay.
That's the
link.
Whatever,
yeah.
Tradition of it, yeah.
I got you.
Yeah. So, have you been to the? I was actually there. One of the highlights of Edinburgh at the Christmas season is the Christmas market, right?
Yeah. I have been many years to the Christmas market in Edinburgh. I've watched it transition from like the German market to the what I would describe as the gypsy ripoff that it is today, where getting stuff is like an absolute mission of having like tokens that you trade for money and vice versa, which then it's just very complicated, and is no longer run by this kind of friendly German guys. It's now sort of run by these like quite menacing Albanian dudes, where it's like, you give two, like, you want sausage, you take these two token. It's like, no, not these token, wrong token. You go get blue token for sausage. And it's like, I mean, I don't mean to do any kind of racial stereotyping of our Balkan neighbors here. But yeah, it's lost a bit of its kind of charm with that. Though if you're looking for an authentic kind of Balkan experience at Christmas time, I'd say it's probably second to none. If you're in the Greater Edinburgh area, come on down to Princess Street.
First of all, that was a very good impression. I think that was a very good Eastern European, Central European, Balkan.
Okay. Well, it's done them justice. Okay.
I also feel bad now because Nadia's aunt was going to visit Edinburgh for a couple of days.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
This week, I think she just got back to the Netherlands, and I said, "Oh, Edinburgh is great at Christmas time. There's a lovely Christmas market. You should go check it out." And they might like it, but now I'm not so sure since it's turned into a Roma affair.
Well, I mean, fingers crossed. You never know. Maybe like the friendly Germans are back, but it's. I mean, yeah, I haven't seen it yet. I only got in today, so I'll maybe go tomorrow night just for a laugh. But we'll see. Anyway, I mean, like once you've kind of been to the. Obviously, they're, I assume, sort of based in Central Europe, Holland, that kind of thing. Once you've been to kind of some of the German, Dutch, Belgian Christmas markets, I'd say the Edinburgh one might be a bit of a kick in the teeth for your Christmas market aficionado. Yeah. But hey, fingers crossed. I hope they have a good time.
Yeah, I guess actually they that was my first Christmas market, so that popped my Christmas market cherry. So I might have been a little naive in the that would have been 2008. Yeah, Christmas 2008. So yeah. Well, speaking of Boxing Day, a lot of football on. That's one of the highlights of Boxing Day.
This is the greatest time of year for football, basically, in UK. Well, no, not just UK, just England, really, actually. Yeah. Everybody else has stopped, but England carries on.
Yeah. So we haven't spoken about football in a while. Well, first of all, how are Hearts doing?
9 points clear in the Scottish Championship now. We a 2-0 victory over the mighty behemoth of football that is Alloa Athletic at the weekend. We are currently 9 points clear of Rangers, whose manager has just quit. Ali McCoys has resigned. The board is falling apart. Rangers are actually in big trouble of being sort of liquidated again. Yeah. And we're looking good.
I heard Ranger he Ali McCoys, Ali Mc,
what's his yeah
name? Ali McCoys.
McCoy
quit. He quit, but then he didn't quit because they couldn't pay him if he quit, but they also can't pay him if he's like he quit because they couldn't pay his salary, right? In part.
Yeah, he's for some reason for a club that has no money, they were paying him over £750,000 a year, which is like an astronomical amount of money for that division. I mean, that's like more than the net worth of probably all the rest of the clubs put together, apart from maybe Hearts and Hibs. So where they're getting that money is a mystery. And they're already like, fuck, I can't remember what it is, about 40 million quid in debt. So people are wondering how this money is being spent. But he's quit. And then they said, well, we can't pay you then. And he said, okay, I'll stay. As of today, he's quit and he's left and someone else has come in and he has gone on what is called gardening leave in the business, which I have no idea what it is, but probably doesn't revolve around horticulture or the tending to of plants and trees, as the name would suggest. I imagine it's some kind of cushy severance package that he will get courtesy. I have no idea where their money is coming from at all. I don't think they do either, which is part of the problem.
Is it coming from Mike Ashley? Is Mike Ashley going to step in and he can't as long as he owns Newcastle, though, right?
Yeah, I guess he could potentially sell Newcastle, depending on. I think he'd need Rangers to get promoted to the SPL first, and then he could sell Newcastle. But they're not a prospect unless if they're in the SPL, then you could get Champions League, basically.
Yeah.
And then that's where the money comes in, isn't it? Newcastle aren't going to get Champions League. So, it's like a year away minimum, whatever he does. Yeah. And there's no guarantee Rangers will go up this year, though they probably will. But
yeah. So speaking about Champions League, the top of the Premier League is Chelsea and City. Much expected. West Ham.
Yeah.
And is Southampton still up there? No.
They're fifth at the moment, I think.
Yeah. And Swansea was still up there as well, although they...
Swansea were in sixth, and they won the weekend as well. So, yeah. There's kind of like some interesting... someone had made a point quite recently about the Premier League, which was that there's actually an incredible amount of really crap teams in it this year. Which I hadn't really thought about, but actually there is. There's loads, apart from the top six. Like, anyone of those could go down, basically. So anyone seven below. I mean, well, not Arsenal and that kind of thing, and not Liverpool. But the bottom ten are interchangeable, certainly.
Yeah, this is something. It's funny you mention that, because it's like in past years there was the top league, the top six teams that were trying to get into Europe, top six or seven. Then there was the middle five or six that weren't going to go anywhere. And then there was the bottom four or five that were fighting to get to stay out of relegation. And this year, it's like it's two leagues. It's
pretty much
the top 10 and the bottom 10. And which is a lot of parity, in fact, because teams in the bottom 10 are actually sometimes beating teams in the top 10 as well. So it's Sunderland has had a couple wins. Stoke has had a couple wins. Although, would you put Stoke in the top? No, you wouldn't put Stoke in the top. You'd put Stoke in the bottom, right?
Yeah, I'd say they're pretty average, but they're one of those teams that will never go down. Like, they're just too dirty.
Yeah. Yeah. What's your top four right now looking like?
For the end, I think Chelsea should win it. Like, I really do. I can't see how they can screw it up. Like, they just are absolutely solid everywhere. There's nobody that's holding them up. Right. City should come second, though. City don't look that good, but they seem to win every time. They do have good players. They just, yeah.
Yeah.
I really hate them. Like, they are the pits. But there's nothing else. Three and four is a bit of a mystery to me, actually. I actually really don't know. At the moment, like, you'd want to say someone like Arsenal, but teams like West Ham are comfortably sort of outplaying Arsenal on on a weekly basis. Like, they play like a more effective style of football. I'd say Arsenal probably will kind of pull it around just because they always do. You got to go with stats on this one. I don't think they've failed to get in the top four for ever, like the last 18 seasons or something. It's ridiculous. They're always there. They've always qualified for the Champions League.
I know.
And that fourth spot's pretty much up for grabs, I'd say. Like, there's a bunch of teams that the actual team that should do it is Man United. They've got an incredible squad, but I watched them on the weekend. It wasn't, they're shaky as anything. I don't know what it is. It's just, they'll take time. They have moments of brilliance, but they don't look like they're going to, be able to really keep any momentum going. And then, yeah, the big surprise is West Ham, who are sort of steamrollering at the moment and, just dominating.
Yeah. I was watching the Tottenham Burnley game on my computer, and I had the United Villa game was on the TV, and it was literally the exact same. This is just a stupid aside, but there was literally the exact same like color combinations. Villa had claret tops and blue sleeves, light blue sleeves, and United had white tops and like black shorts, and then Tottenham had blue shorts, white tops, and Burnley was the same color. So that was a little, that was fun. That was a little aside, but I think United will come in third. They'll just pick up points where other teams won't. And will, I think they're good enough to, David De Gea has been playing absolutely out of his mind. There were haters about him a few years ago, and he's phenomenal. He's one of the best keepers in the league,
I think he probably is the best keeper in the league at the moment. Yeah, he's really he's keeping games really, which is amazing. If they keep hold of him, because I know people, Real Madrid, I think, want to buy him.
Yeah, I think Courtois, the Chelsea keeper, is probably the best in the league, but he's not really been tested at all. And as a homer, I think Hugo Lloris is phenomenal. I think Tottenham wouldn't be in, whatever, I think they're in six now, without him there. He's been
he's excellent. Yeah, I like his style, kind of the whole, he sort of plays football. He's like a footballer that can keep goal, which is quite novel.
Yeah. What was the other thing I was going to mention? Yeah, Liverpool. What do you think of Liverpool's chances?
I actually really am reveling. For some reason, I get like this kind of Schadenfreude that sort of surrounds British football. I'm getting it for Liverpool at the moment. Like, I really want to see them kind of just be ground into the dirt, really. I thought they did very well last year, but mainly they did very well just by having two people that scored like a lot of goals. Yeah. And they sort of rested on those laurels a little bit. And it just kind of annoys me when these teams sell, they did what Tottenham did, really. They sold like a prolific player and bought a bunch of people that haven't really worked in the team. Eventually they will, but it's just, it kind of, they don't, without Sturridge, without Suarez, as much as I hate the guy, like yeah. just watching them isn't as exciting anymore. Like it's yeah. just, it's not.
Well, when Sturridge comes back, I think they'll be better. I'm they're owned by the same folks that own the Red Sox.
The New England Sports Venture or whatever they're called. Yeah.
Sports. Yeah. That, yeah. And, they're good. They're good owners in that they like to win and think that's the best return for their money, which is good for fans. But I don't think they're going to get rid of Brendan Rodgers anytime soon. There's a lot of that in the media about Brendan Rodgers getting fired. I don't think he's going to go anywhere. And they played very well against Arsenal yesterday. I don't know if you
actually. You know, I watched the game. Yeah, they showed some backbone, which was a bit of a change from the norm. They actually. Put together a team. They looked like they were going somewhere instead of the other games where they're just kind of wandering about and yeah. no one knows what's going on.
Yeah, that's because they scored first, then Arsenal scored like 2 minutes later, right before half, and then Arsenal scored with very little time left, I think.
Yeah, they had about, I think, about 20, 10, 15.
Oh, yeah, no. Yeah, it was like the 80th minute or something like that. But terrible defending from Liverpool. That was, it was atrocious. The Giroud was just sitting right in the middle of the penalty box without, or 6 yard box with no one.
Yeah.
And then Skrtel scored to in extra time, the 9 minutes of extra time. Yeah. But finally Tottenham. What's your have you seen any of their games?
I did. Yeah, I mean it must be very frustrating kind of following them. And I do follow Tottenham actually like a bit more than a lot of other clubs. But they have moments of exceptional play, which results in goals like Lamela's on the thing. I do very much rate Harry Kane. I am interested to see how he's developing exactly, because especially in England they have a tendency that when like an English guy actually scores goals, which is quite rare, like he gets elevated to this mythical status and immediately becomes shit. I wonder how long that's going to be before Harry Kane kind of gets, because if he keeps scoring, eventually he's going to get in the England team. That's just like a matter of course, really.
That was what the BBC was saying. It should be Kane and Charlie Austin up top for England in the next.
Well, you know, if you play your foreign players, I suppose they're probably the two highest scoring English qualified strikers. But I like Kane. I think he's unorthodox, which is, he's just different from a lot of other strikers, which is nice.
Yeah.
He just plays a different game, and he seems like a pretty nice guy as well. You could go give him that.
Well, his voice is one of the funniest things I've ever heard. It's really funny. He's got a really weird voice. That's genuinely what his voice is like. It's cute.
It's a hoot. It's a hoot. You can listen.
No, I really like the way he's been playing as well. He gives the team a spark that they haven't had since Bale left, and even before then. This game, the past couple games have been really heartening to see, because they're actually playing quickly as opposed to playing. They were playing really slow for a year and a half now since Bale left, 2 years. Just so slow, just not passing the ball. And you see a team like Arsenal or City or Chelsea go forward, and it's boom, 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 quick transition. And Tottenham, it's everything's back to the fucking defense, and then through the midfield, and then back to the defense, and then back to the keeper. And it was just good to see them attack well.
They're kind of like a high-performance car that doesn't work that well. Like, but when it does, it's quite a nice thing to watch.
What's the car from Back to the Future?
The DeLorean.
I feel like they're a DeLorean.
Yeah, and it looks good when it comes off.
Yeah.
Just come off that much.
Yeah.
But yeah, if they sort it out, like they could potentially go for fourth. Actually, like they got a team to do it. Probably they got enough. Like attacking talent anyway.
Yeah. we can hope so. We can hope so.
Yeah.
All right. Well, last thing I wanted to chat about was your new project over there.
Yeah.
You've got it's called Talking Soup, correct?
It is called Talking Soup.
Do you want to give us the rundown about what it is? You're calling for submission still?
Yeah, I mean, it is now online. I was going to try and answer why it's called Talking Soup, but there isn't really a reason actually for that. It's just called Talking Soup. I've been informed that there used to be some show in America called Talk Soup at some point in maybe you knew about this or in the 90s. It was quite a big thing, I believe. It's before my time and country, so like they're not gonna get sued anyway. Yeah, no, it's been good. We released the first issue of 10 articles about kind of the nuances of modern existence. We like first person narratives, kind of writing about the world that most people see and the inherent humor in that, of which there is a lot. And we've got some pretty diverse articles. I've submitted some of my own work, some stuff about a incident on a bus, which you can all read about if you like some self-depreciating humor. That's one for you. And we've had some other pretty interesting ones, people who kind of live on the dole, who have sent in their articles, which have been quite entertaining. A wheelchair user who like has given his opinion of the world from a wheelchair, which is quite a new angle, actually, to excuse any sort of pun. But yeah, that's also very good. And there's some artwork there as well. So we've got a whole comic is being printed on it. But yeah, it went live on Sunday, and we're getting Saturday, and we're getting quite a lot of hits in. So it's sort of gaining momentum.
Good to hear. It looks great. I know it wasn't you that did the designing, but it looks the website looks great.
I've been told by a lot of people that the design's great. I can't take much credit for it, unfortunately. As much as I'd love to, it was it's beyond my comprehension, really. But it's quite easy to use. It's good.
Yeah. Might put up a link to it on Volterra, if you don't mind.
Yeah, of course you can. I will reciprocate the link on
Brilliant.
On Talking Soup or on the Twitter feed or with it, whichever. Yeah.
Yeah. All right. We'll do a link. We can do a menu link or something like that. And do a partnership. All right. Cool. Anything else you want to talk about tonight, Lou?
No, I think we've covered it. We've covered a fair bit. What are your plans for Christmas? You are in Connecticut, are you?
Currently in Connecticut. Busy. We're I picked up my sister and her boyfriend from New York last night at 11. Got back at like midnight. Didn't get to sleep until like 2:30. And was up at 7, so I'm not working on too much sleep right now. Tomorrow we're going into New York to do the touristy things. Christmas Eve, we always go to my old neighbor's house, and then Christmas Day we'll open presents here, and then hopefully on Boxing Day I'll get to sit down and watch a bunch of football.
Sounds pretty good.
Yeah. Yeah. All right, Lou. Well, Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas to you too, Ron, and Merry Christmas to all the listeners.
Yeah, Merry Christmas to all you guys out there in Volterra podcast land. We will hopefully have another one before the new year, if our schedules allow. If not, we'll see you in 2014. 2015, Jesus Christmas. 2015. Yeah.
Let's not relive this one again.
No. It was a bad year. It was not a good year, let's be honest. For the world, it wasn't good.
Nah.
All right, I'll talk to you soon, Lou.
See you later, Owen. Take care. Christmas in Harlem, right at the autumn falls, soaking it all in, then we gon' hit the mall, even though we ain't ballin', feel like we bought it all, the mistletoe's right here, come give a kiss to Santa Claus. Maybe Christmas the owl and all a good night, huh?
Now we all living the good life. Yeah, though it's 40 below the windshield, and we wiping snow up off the windshield. It's still a wonderful night to be alive.